Paritrebo say good morning. Let's begin. Our shiur today is sponsored by the Miller Mishpacha in honor of the engagement of their son Hillel Shalom to Yehudis Blimen of Toronto. Mazel Tov. You should be Zoche Miritz Hashem to see your son, your future daughter-in-law under the chuppah b'sha'a tova u'mitzlachas. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. Paritrebo say let's begin. So today's daf is daf pei. We are picking up on Ayin Tes Amud Beis 79b. So says the Mishnah, Kasav l'shei malchus she'ina hogenes. If a person, now this Mishnah is going to talk about different things that ultimately disqualify a get. So Kasav l'shei malchus she'ina hogenes. So if a person goes ahead and writes a get, dated by a monarchy that is not fit. So what does it mean, a monarchy that's not fit? Rashi says over here, Kasa l'shei malchus she'ino hogenes, Mishay b'baba v'kasa b'shnas kach v'kach l'malchus acheres. So on the most basic level, what the Mishnah is saying over here is, let's say I live in Babel, and I date the get in accordance with some other monarchy's reign. So that's called malchus she'ino hogenes, or... Well, he goes on, he says, L'shom Malchus Madai, if I'm living in Bavel, and I go ahead and I date it in accordance with the monarchy of Malchus Madai, L'shem Malchus Yavon, according, if I'm living in Bavel and I date it again in accordance with Malchus Yavon, L'bingin Abayis, or for that matter, if I date it X number of years since the building of the Beis HaMikdash, L'chorban Abayis, or if I date it in accordance X number of years since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or Hayu B'Mizrach V'Kasa B'Marav, or for that matter, again, he was in, we'll discuss who the he is, but he was in the east, and he wrote that the get was written in the west, or B'Marav V'Kasa B'Mizrach, or they were in the west, and they wrote that the get was written in the east. We're all saying, all of these cases, Teitzei Mizeh U'Mizeh. Now remember, the way that this case is playing out over here is, that this person wrote this get, and Lamaisa after that, when she went ahead and she thought she was divorced, and she married a second husband. So the Mishnah says, in that circumstance, Teitze Mize Umize, she has to leave the first husband as well as the second husband. Utsricha get Mize Umize. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Teitze Mize Umize. If she went ahead and she got married as a result of having this get, so teitzei min harishon min hasheni, utzricha get sheni min harishon. So both say, so in this case over here, she would have to leave her second husband and get a get from the second husband, and she'd have to get a second get from the first husband. V'afapi, now this sounds strange, because remember, if the get is invalid, then it means that she was still married to the second husband. To the first husband. If that's the case, then why does she even need a get from the second husband at all? To which the Gemara says, V'afapi shekidushe sheni, lo havi kidushin, even though, again, the second marriage was not a valid marriage, ubi yivamis mefarish taimo, gazeru shem yomru gireish rishon get gamer, v'nosa sheni, v'nimtsas eishas ish yotza below get. Because both say these are circumstances where a get was delivered. The only issue is the get is possible because of a technicality. The concern that exists is that if she goes free without a get, then Lemaisa, again, it has the appearance that what? That she was married to the second guy, he now divorced her without a get, and she's getting married now to someone else without a get from the second one. Therefore, again, in order to avoid any appearance of impropriety, we tell that she needs a get from husband number two, and of course she needs a second get from husband number one. Furthermore, the Gemara says all the ramifications. So, teitzei mizeh u'mizeh, tzricha get mizeh u'mizeh. She has to leave both husbands, because now remember, again, she's inadvertently committed adultery with the second husband, and she requires a get from both of them. Ve'ein lo k'suva, she doesn't have a k'suva from either of them. Ve'lo peros, and again, I will say, peros in this context means she doesn't have the privileges that a wife normally gets because her husband gets peros. For example, because the husband gets to use her property, so she gets the privilege of being redeemed. In other words, if she's taken captive, the husband has to redeem her. That obligation does not apply upon the husband in this situation. Velo mazonos, she's not entitled to mazonos from either of these marriages. Velo belos, when the marriages are dissolved, she's not entitled to any of the worn-out items that she brought into the marriage. Velo alze, lo alze, she has none of these claims against husband number one or husband number two. Furthermore, im natla mizeh umizeh, if she in fact extracted money to pay for any of the privileges from husband number one or number two, the halacha is tachzir. She has to return the monies. Va'avlad mamzer mizeh umizeh. And any children she has with either of these husbands are mamzerim. Now, of course, Rashi points out what this means over here is the following. If after husband number one divorces her with the get that turned out to be an invalid get, she marries husband number two. Any children she has with husband number two are mamzerim. Furthermore, if she were to now go back to husband number one and have children with husband number one, those children would also be mamzerim. Now we'll discuss why that is. But obviously, any children she had with husband number one before husband number one gave her the get, of course, are totally legitimate children. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah goes on. And if both husbands, number one, number two, are Kohanim, neither of them could become Tamei for her. And furthermore, again, neither one of these men, neither husbands, are entitled to that which she finds or to her earnings. Nor can they go ahead and annul her vows. If this woman in question was a Bas Yisrael, she takes on the status of a Zona, because she has inadvertently committed adultery, and therefore again, she may not marry a Kohen. Top of pay, Bas Levi Min HaMeiser. If she is a Bas Levi, her actions have invalidated her from consuming Meiser, Bas Kohen Min HaTruma. If she's the daughter of a Kohen, she may not eat Truma. Ve'ein Yarshin Shalzeh, the Yarshin Shalzeh, Yarshin Ksuvasa. Furthermore, again, any children she has with husband number one, husband number two, do not inherit her ksuva. They will say, now what this is specifically referring to, what do you mean don't inherit her ksuva? We just said before there is no ksuva. Rashi points out that we're talking about over here, the ksuvas benin dichrin. Remember we spoke about this, that a woman could go ahead and stipulate with her husband that she wants her children to inherit the property of her ksuva. That's called ksuvas benin dichrin. Because let's say you have a situation where husband has his own children, she has her children, she wants her kids to inherit her ksuva, she has the right to legislate that. In this type of situation, however, there is no ksuvas benin dichrin. V'imesu, and if the husbands die, both these husbands die without children, achiv shalzeh v'achiv shalzeh chutzun v'lo miyavmin. Shabbos say both the surviving brother of husband number one and the surviving brother of husband number two both go ahead and do chalitza, but of course cannot do yibum. Rashi points out over here, achiv shalsheni cholitz midirabana kitipirashnu, gabiget, shami yomru girish ze v'nasa ze, v'achiv shalrish utzarach lachlotz minatara. So let's remember again, the brother of husband number one has to do chalitza midaraisa, because technically speaking, she was still married to husband number one. Husband number two, the rabbis legislated, but the brother of husband number two should go ahead and do chalitza midirabanan. Why? Because what we call klape chutz from the outside, marriage number two looks like a totally legitimate and legal marriage. Remember, the only reason marriage number two is not good is because there was a technical issue with the get. But people on the outside don't necessarily know that. So therefore, again, in order to avoid any appearance of impropriety, we make the surviving brother of husband number two do chalitza as well. I'm sorry?
If there are kids, they'd be all
right. This is no kids. Right, correct. This is no children. Therefore, just in order to avoid, again, what we're just trying to do is trying to avoid confusion. That's also. In order to avoid confusion, we'll tell the surviving brother of husband number two that he should do chalitza as well. Next. So we'll say other situations that invalidate a get. Shina shmo ushma. If the sofer made a mistake and changed the name of the husband or the wife in the get. Shem iro v'shem ira. Or changed the name of his city or the name of her city. So what's the halacha? Teitzei mizeh u'mizeh. So she has to go ahead and leave both husbands. She has to leave both husbands. Because obviously what this means over here, this is a situation where she received this get. She thought she was divorced. She got remarried. It turns out the get was invalid. So again, obviously she can't remain married to husband number two because there's no marriage there. She's still married to husband number one. That's de facto adultery. Therefore, she's asur to husband number two. And because she has inadvertently committed adultery, she is psula to husband number one as well. V'chol hadrachim ha'elubah. And furthermore, again, everything that we discussed previously in the Mishnah applies to this woman as well. Next. Kol harayu she'amru. Sarosehen mutaros. So we'll say this is an interesting halacha. We learned this back in Yevamos. If you look at Rashi, call arayo shamru sarosehen mutaros. Chamesh esrei arayo shamru chachamim. Shet sarosehen mutaros linasi l'shuk b'lo chalitza. Kishemis v'alim b'labaros. So we'll say, imagine the following case. Let's say you have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. And Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter. So Reuven married his niece, which is permitted. Now what happens? Reuven is married to his niece and one other woman. He has two wives, called Rachel and Leah. Rachel is Reuven's niece, Leah is unrelated. Reuven dies without children. Shimon, the surviving brother, has to do Yibum. There's a halacha by Yibum that says what? That if one of the wives who fall to you in Yibum are an erva to you, that exempts all of the wives from the Yibum obligation. So in this case over here, when Reuven dies without children, Reuven's two wives fall to Shimon for Yibum. One of those wives, Rachel, happens to be what? Shimon's daughter. So because of that, again, obviously there's no Yibum situation like that, but the novelty is that Rachel, who's the daughter of Shimon, exempts her co-wife, Leah, from Yibum as well. So this, now here's the following situation. So, So what happened? Let's say it turns out, so therefore in this case, Reuven dies without children, and therefore again, Rachel is his niece, Leah it was the other wife, so now the co-wife goes out and gets married to someone else. V'nimtzu'u eilu eilinis. And what happens? So we'll say, take a look at Rashi. Halchulat saros shalarayos v'nisu l'shok v'nimtzu ha'arayos eilinis. We'll say this is a really fascinating case. So follow this progression for just a moment. So this is going to be a little bit of a convoluted case. So remember again, Reuven, Shimon, two brothers. Reuven's married to Rachel and Leah. Rachel is Shimon's daughter. Leah's unrelated. Reuven dies without children. So, right? So now Rachel and Leah fall to Shimon for Yibum. There's no Yibum, no Chalitza. Totally disqualified. Why? Because Rachel is Shimon's daughter. The halacha is, and therefore not only does she exempt herself, she exempts her co-wife as well. Fine. So co-wife Leah goes out and marries someone else. Rachel also marries someone else. It then turns out that what? Rachel is an eilinus. Remember again, an eilinus is a woman who is incapable of ever having children. Okay? So what happens? Now it turns out, Bosai, that once we find out that Rachel was an eilinus, so what the Mishnah suggests is, what that means is that her marriage to Reuven was never a valid marriage. It was a mekach tos, because the assumption is that a man would not want to be married to a woman who's an eilinus. So therefore it turns out that her marriage was a mekach tos. Therefore it turns out that what? Rachel was never the wife of Reuven. The only wife of Reuven was really who? Was really Leah. And therefore, again, when Reuven died without children, Leah was really subject to Yibum, to Shimon, because she was not the co-wife of an erva. So it turned out that what? That Leah has illegally married another man without doing Yibum or Chalitza with her brother-in-law, Shimon. And that's at 6:15 in the morning, right? So we have to work through it. So let's work through it. So it says the Gemara, v'nimtzu ela eilinus. So what happens? So now it turns out that, again, Rachel is an eilinus. Teitzei mizeh u'mizeh. So we'll say, in that case, we will tell Leah, she has to leave her husband that she married, because remember again, she illegally married him, because a woman who is subject to the obligation of Yibum is not permitted to marry someone else without first undergoing the process of Yibum or Chalitza. So Teitzei, and again, obviously she can't marry the Yavam either, because at the end of the day she's had relations with another man. And all the other circumstances that we discussed earlier in the Mishnah apply to her as well. Similarly, if you have the following situation, this is not an islandist case. Well, actually, listen to this case. So same idea, same case over here, just instead of Reuven, Shimon, brothers, Reuven's married to Rachel and Leah, but in this case over here, Rachel is not Shimon's daughter. No relation to Shimon. So what happens? Reuven dies without children. And then, so Shimon does Yibum with Rachel. Remember again, the obligation of Yibum Chalitza applies to only one of the wives. So what happens over here? So Shimon now goes ahead and does Yibum. And then again, so what happens? Leah goes and marries someone else. And then it turns out, about the same case as before, turns out Rachel is an eilinus. So therefore, again, I will say, what does that mean? It turns out then that, again, Reuven was never really married to Rachel. Therefore, again, Leah was really subject to Yibum. Leah, in the meantime, went out and married someone else, which now turns out de facto was illegal. Therefore, the halacha is she must leave her second husband. She's also asura to the Yavam, because again, she had relations with another man other than the Yavam. And all the previous stated obligations or stipulations or penalties apply to her as well. Next, Kasav Sofer Get Liish. So listen to this case. Let's say the sofer writes a get for the man and a shover. Shover is a receipt. Listen, understand what normally happened was the following. When a husband would go ahead and give his wife a get, so the next process after that, it doesn't have to be this way, but it could foreseeably be this way, is that the wife would then show up to the husband with her ksuva, and she would demand payment for her ksuva. Okay, so let's say she's entitled to. So she shows up, demands payment for her ksuva, he pays her. Now, what he wants to do afterwards, after he pays her, is she's going to give him a receipt that indicates that the ksuva obligation is paid. Is paid. So now what happened over here? The sofer wrote two documents. He wrote a get, and the intention was to deliver the get to the man so that he could deliver it to his wife. And the receipt, he proactively wrote the receipt for the woman. So the woman was going to keep the receipt and give it to her husband upon payment to the ksuva. What happens? A little bit of a mix-up. V'ta'a v'nasan get le'isha v'shover le'ish. So there was a mix-up. And the sofer gave the receipt to the man and the get to the woman. V'nasan get le'isha v'shover le'ish. She gave the get to the woman and the receipt to the man. V'nasnu ze la'zeh. So it says, here's what happens. If you can imagine, he gave them each their document, and it's rolled up. So the husband assumes he's getting the get, but it's not really a get, it's the receipt. The woman assumes she's getting the receipt, but it turns out that's the get. And what do? Right? He gives her the document, she gives him the document, and it turns out that he's given her the receipt, she's given him the get. So obviously, in that case, and one day they decide they're going through their paperwork, and what happens? He opens up his document, and it turns out that he has the get. She opens up her document, turns out that she has the receipt. So now, what's happened in the interim? Nebuch, she's gotten remarried. She's gotten remarried because she thought that she received the get. What's the halacha? Teitze mize umize. So she must leave the first and second husbands. V'chol hadrachim ha'elu ba. And I will say again, remember all the various things that we discussed, ultimately, again, apply to her. Rabbi Elazar Omer, im la'alter yatza, ein zeget. So Elazar says, there's a statute of limitations on this. If they discover this immediately, then ein zeget, then we assume that in fact there was a real mix-up. Im la'acher zman yatza, but if this only comes to light later on, then hare zeget. Then ultimately, again, the get is valid. Lo kolim enam in arishon la'abiz chusos shoshin. So we'll say what we're going to see in the Gemara is that there's a concern that if this reality does not come to light until later, that perhaps there's some type of subterfuge, right? There's some type of plot between this man and this woman, ultimately, again, to either get her out of the second marriage or something else. A conspiracy. So Belazar says that Lamaisa, if they discover this immediately, fine. But if they don't discover this, we just assume that there was some type of mix-up of paperwork sometime later on, but we assume that the get, in fact, was given in a legal fashion. We're going to see in the Gemara. My Malchus Sheino again. So both sides. So says the Gemara. So what is Malchus? Let's go back to the beginning. So the Mishnah said that if you wrote the get for a Malchus Sheino Hogenes, literally an inappropriate monarchy. So what's the definition of an inappropriate monarchy? So the Gemara says Haromium. An example of a Malchus Sheino Hogenes is Rome. Right? Rome is an inappropriate monarchy. It's an unfit monarchy. Not inappropriate. Unfit monarchy. V'amai karli Malchus Sheino Hogenes. Why do we call Rome an unfit monarchy? Mishum de'ein lehem lo ksav v'lo loshen. Interestingly enough, because Rome never had its own alphabet and never had its own language. Meaning, they took from other nations and built their alphabet and built their language on the dialect of other nations. So because of that, they are called an unfit monarchy. Of course, we'll see understand that a statement like this is also reflecting the ongoing tensions between Klal Yisrael and Rome as well. Amar Ula, Ula said, Mipnei mata kinu malchus begin. So Ula said, why is it, by the way, that when we date our get, we date the gittin in accordance with the monarchy of the land? Meaning, why is it that we do that? To which the Gemara says, Mishum shalom malchus. Ula says, it's in order to preserve good relations with the monarchy. That the monarchy, the country in which we live, should realize that we value them, we respect them, and therefore we even date our shtaris in accordance with them. So the Gemara says, "Mishum shalom malchus teitzei v'avlag namzer." So understand the power of that statement, because what does the Mishnah tell me? If I live in Bavel, and instead of dating my get in accordance with the monarchy of Bavel, I date it with the monarchy of Paras, of Persia, so you're telling me then that the get is invalid, and if the woman were to go ahead and go and get remarried with this get, then what? The children would be mamzerim. So you're telling me that in order to preserve shalom with the monarchy, we're going to make kids mamzerim? To which the Gemara says, yeah, in, we will. Rabbi Meir l'tamei, dam rav hanun, mishen du ula, omer hayu Rabbi Meir, because it will say this is a general shita. Remember, Rabbi Meir says that when you deviate from the framework which the rabbis created, so the ramifications for that is you're going to have mamzerim. In other words, we will say what Rabbi Meir says is like this: that gittin is a very serious thing. Look, we know this is even a challenge to today. Challenge to today, right? One of the greatest tensions in modern day state of Israel, in a religious sense, is who governs marriages, conversions, divorces, because these are the three things that ultimately determine the perpetuity of Klal Yisrael. If there's an erosion in standard in these areas, then ultimately, again, we face literally an existential danger. That's why it's such an important act. To which Rabbi Meir says, listen, Chazal made a framework for how you write a get. And if you deviate from that framework, the consequences are quite severe. So yes, Chazal said you have to date in accordance with the monarchy in the country in which you live, Mishum Shalom Malchus, and if you choose not to follow that directive, there are consequences for that. Next, Lishum Malchus Yah. So I will say, the Mishnah is worded in a very interesting way. The Mishnah began by saying that you have to date the get in accordance with the Malchus. Right? Or I should say, if you wrote the get in accordance with the Malchus, an unfit monarchy, the get's not good. And then the Mishnah started rattling off like a whole bunch of different examples. Like if you're living in Bavel, and you're writing in accordance with Malchus Madai, right, the get's not good. Or Malchus Yavan, the get's not good. Or for the building of the base of Mikdash, the get's not good. I mean, why do you have to state all of these different cases? To which the Gemara says, Tzricha, you need all these cases, I'll tell you why. Tieshmoi ne Malchus Sheinah Hogenes, Mishum Demelicha, Aval Malchus Madai Malchus Yavan, my dahava hava. See, I might have thought that if you date the get in accordance with another monarchy that's in existence, that's a slight. That's a slight to the monarchy in which you live, and that's why the get's invalid. But if let's say I'm living in Bavel, and I date the get in accordance with Madai or Yavan, which are monarchies that no longer exist, my dahava hava. The monarch in the country in which I live is not going to be slighted if I'm dating my get in accordance with expired monarchies. And maybe you'll say, no, you can't date the get in accordance with any other monarchy, even if the monarchy no longer exists, because that's a slight to the current monarch. I would have said, aval, binyan abayis, my dahava hava, but I should be able to date the get in accordance with the X number of years since the Beis Hamikdash was built, because again, that's not a slight to the monarchy, because what was. Or if you would have said, you can't date the get in accordance with the year since the Beis Hamikdash was built, because the Gentile rulers will say that what? We're placing the emphasis on our Beis Hamikdash and not on them. But I might have thought that I could go ahead and date the get in accordance with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, because that's highlighting our tsar. Therefore, again, Tzricha. Therefore, both say the Mishnah tells you that the halacha is you must date the get in accordance with the monarchy in which you live. And dating it in any other fashion ultimately is going to invalidate the get. Hayav Mizrach v'kasav Amarav. So also remember, if he was in the east, but in the get they wrote the west. So man. So who is the he that we are referring to? Ilim Abal, if you want to say that it's talking about the husband, Hainu Shina Shmo, Ushma, Shemiro v'Shemiro. We already spoke about that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you change the husband's name, or you change the husband's location, like where he lives, ultimately, again, that invalidates the get. So what's this case over here? El Alav Sofer. Oh, the case of, say, in the get, you have to write the location of where the sofer is. In other words, what does that mean? You have to write the location of where the get is being written. We'll discuss this in greater depth. So what the Mishnah is saying is, if you wrote the wrong location, not for the husband and wife, that was correct, but for where the get is being written, that invalidates the get. So it says the Gemara, Kedah Amar Lehu Rav Safra, excuse me, Kedah Amar Lehu Rav Lesafra, I'm sorry, as Rav said to his scribes, V'chin Amar Lehu Rav Huna Lesafra, and as Rav Huna said to his scribes, Ki Yasvisu B'Shili, K'suvo B'Shili. So when you are writing the get in Shili, make sure to indicate the get is being written in Shili. V'af agav demimsaron l'chumili b'hini. And even if the husband gave you the instructions to write the get in Hini, v'chi yasvisu b'hini. And when you are going ahead and giving the get, when you are writing the get in Hini, k'suvo b'hini, indicate that the get is being written in b'hini. V'af agav demimsaron l'chumili b'shili. And even though you are receiving the instructions in Shili. Amrav Shabbos say Segei for that's what the Mishnah is saying. The halacha lemaisa, the location of where the get is being written must be recorded in the get. And if the wrong location is recorded, then lemaisa the get is invalid. Amrav Yudam Shmuel. Shavu Yudam Shmuel. Zu Amud Beis. Zudiv Rabbi Meir. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. Now look at Rashi. What does it mean Zudiv Rabbi Meir? The get nifsal mishum shalom malchus. So Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that halacha lemaisa, the get has to be dated in accordance with the monarchy in which I live. And not only that, but what? If I don't date it that way, then the get itself is invalid. The Chachamim say, Afilu lo kasav ela l'shem santar shebeir harezim migureshes. So the Chachamim say that even if one went ahead and dated the get l'shem santar, listen, what's the santar? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says santar befarish bebal basra bar mechavina. Zoking hamamuna lihios baki benachalas gvul sada kol ishviish. So this is the guy who runs like the land registry office. So this is the person who's in charge of recording titles. The title guy in the particular city. So the chacham, this is very interesting. So the chachamim say that even if you date the get in accordance with a low level city official. I'm not calling the person who works in the title office of the law, which I understand as compared to the king. So even if you say this get was written in the third year of the rule of Frank, the head of the land title office, right? So again, the Chachamim will say that's okay. In other words, because we will say, according to the Chachamim, really the ikar over here is we need a date. We need a date. Chachamim don't really care about how you're dating it, as long as it's a dating system that is traceable and that is quantifiable. The Gemara says, "Hahu Gita." Gemara tells a story. "Hahu Gita da havakasev bay l'shem istandira dib shakar." So there was a get that was written in accordance with the rulership of the istandira b'shakar. Shakar is a place. Rashi says, "Istandira b'shakar shilton really bashkar avdu shamelach." So they wrote a get. They wrote a get and they dated it in accordance with the rulership of the governor of Bashkar. So Bashkar is the name of the place. Istandira is the governor. V'sholchol Rav Nachem bar Rav Chista v'kamei d'rabo. So this Rav Chista asked the question of a rabbi, Ki agav namai, what's the halacha? Is this good enough? Is the dating of this get good enough? Sholoch lei, beha afil Rabbi Meir modi. Oh, in this case, even Rabbi Meir would agree that the dating of the get is good. So the Gemara says, my time out. Now remember, Rabbi Meir was the one who said that in order to properly date a get, what do you have to do? You have to date it in accordance with the malchus, with the monarchy. So why would Rabbi Meir say that in this case over here, when you're dating in accordance with the bastander, with the istandura, with the governor of Bashkar, then it would be good? To which the Gemara says, my time out, me'osa malchus. Me'osa malchusu. Because the governor is part of the same monarchy. Umayishnam is santar. So why is that different than the guy who's the head of the land registry office? Umayishnam is santar shabir. Hasam zeloluhu milsa. Hacha shavichaluhu milsa. There to date the get in accordance with the head of the land registry office, a local official, that's considered to be, that's disparaging to the king. But to date the get in accordance with the governor of Bashkar, that's ultimately a praise to the king. What's the pshat? Look at Rashi. Rashi says zeloluhu milsa. Ein she'ein shaltanus gerua mizu, uboshes hulamalach sheniskar zeh, Here's the difference. Essentially, the governor is a high-ranking official, and the governor of Epashtas is someone who is appointed by the king. Therefore, again, when you date your document, when you date your document in accordance with the governor, that's still considered to be a covet to the king. So because it's a covet to the king, again, that's the king's official, but when you date it in accordance with the low-level city official, that lamaisa is a disparaging. That's an embarrassment to the king, and therefore, again, Rabbi Meir will say it's not good. So we'll say what this does is it expands it for us a little bit, because up until now we thought Rabbi Meir only held that you could only date it in accordance with the monarch. It now appears to be that you could date the get in accordance with the rulership of any official, a high-level official appointed by the king. Because if it's appointed by the king, that's a covet to the king as well. So the Gemara says the following. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim say, Havlad Kosher. That we'll say, remember again, Havlad Kosher, that same idea. Even if you date the get in accordance with someone else other than the king, the Chachamim will say the get is good, and therefore if she remarries, her offspring from the second marriage will still be kosher. Umodim Chacham Rabbi Meir, but the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Meir. What? Shimshina Shma Ushma Shem Ira B'Shem Ira Shavlad Mamzer. But the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Meir that in the event that they changed the name of the husband or the name of the wife, the name of the husband's city or the name of the wife's city, that such a get is invalid. And if she got remarried to a second, if she got married to a second man, the children from that second union will be Mamzerim. Amar Avashi, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We learned that in the Mishnah. Shina Shmo Ushmo, Shem Iro Vishem Ira, Tetse Mize Umize Bechola Drachema Eluba. So we learned this because in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if the sofer changed his name or her name, the name of his city, the name of her city, the halacha is, and she remarried based on this get, she must leave husband number two. And her, any children she had from this first union, ultimately again, are pasul. So the Gemara says, Ha man katani lo. So whose opinion is being reflected here in the Mishnah? Ilema Rabbi Meir. See if you want to say it's Rabbi Meir. La'ar vinhu v'lisninu. So also remember, if it's Rabbi Meir, then what you should do is, you should list all of the cases, and then at the end of the cases say, that teitzei mize umize vavlad mamzer. Because remember again, we've already established that the first case in the Mishnah, that you have to date the get in accordance with the Malchus, reflects whose opinion? Reflects the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That we've already established. Because remember, according to the Chachamim, you could date the get in accordance with any official and it's fine. So if indeed that second case of Shina Shmo Ushma was also Rabbi Meir, or just Rabbi Meir, then the way stylistically the Mishnah should have been written was, go ahead and state all of the cases, and then after you state the cases, since the ruling is the same, say, that what? Teitzei mize umize v'havlad mamzer divrei Rabbi Meir. But the fact that the Mishnah does not do that, the fact that the Mishnah quotes the case of Shah of Malchus, you have to date to get according to the monarchy, and if you don't date to get according to the monarchy, teitzei mize umize v'havlad pasul, and then brings down the case of Shino Shmo Ushma, changing the name, and then again says, teitzei mize umize v'havlad pasul, indicates to us that the second case of the Mishnah is reflecting a different view than the first. Whose opinion is it reflecting, says the Gemara? Shmamina Rabban, Elo Shmamina Rabbanon, Shmamina. So just see Rabbo said that even though the Rabbanon disagree with Rabbi Meir in the first case, because remember again, according to the Rabbanon, even if you did not date the get in accordance with the monarch, but you just dated the get in accordance with some other official, as long as there's a date in there, the Rabbanon say the get is good, and if she were to remarry again, it would be a valid marriage, and children would not be mamzerim. They agree with Rabbi Meir in the second case, that in the event that the sofer literally changed the name of the husband or the name of the wife, the name of his city, the name of her city, that the get is invalid, and if she were to remarry with that get, she would have to leave second husband, and the children from the second union would in fact be mamzerim. Next, Kalaraya Shamru. So let's remember again, the next case in the Mishnah was the interesting Yibum case. This was the case again, remember, Reuven is married to two women, Rachel and Leah. Rachel happens to be his niece. Rachel is his niece. Reuven dies without children. Shimon, the surviving brother, now is faced with the prospect of Yibum. But one of the two wives that his deceased brother was married to happens to be Shimon's daughter. So the halacha is that since obviously he can't do Yibum with his daughter, she's an erva to Shimon, to the Yavam, so the daughter Rachel also exempts her co-wife Leah from any type of Yibum. Then remember the case, Leah goes out and marries someone else. It then turns out that what? That Rachel was an islandess. So the Mishnah suggests that because Rachel was an islandess, her original marriage to Reuven was a mekachtos, which means there was never marriage, which means that she was not a co-wife of Leah because she was never married to Reuven, which means now that what? When Reuven died without children, Leah herself was in fact subject to Yibum, and now she illegally married another man other than her Yavam. So in that case, the Mishnah said that the halacha is she has to leave the second husband. She can no longer live with the Yavam, and therefore again requires a get from both husbands. That was the case in a nutshell. Says the Gemara, Kal Rashi Amru Nisuin Zinulo. Interestingly enough, it appears that the only problem is if Leah married another man. But if, let's say, she just had relations with another man, that would not make her usher to Shimon the Yavam. Look at Rashi. Zinulo. Eina asur v'hisyavim v'nisu chama shem yomru chalatz la v'niseis la'acher v'niseis. So it appears to be from the Mishnah that the only problem in this case is if Leah, the co-wife, actually married another man. But if she just had relations with another man, and then once this whole thing was discovered, technically speaking, she can now go back and do Yibum with Shimon. To which the Gemara says, Lema tehevet yiftir famnuna. Tamrav hamnuna, shomeres yavim shizin, sa'asru liyavma. So this would seem to be a refutation of the position of Rav Hamnuna, because Rav Hamnuna said that if a woman who was supposed to do Yibum had relations with another man, that disqualifies her from doing Yibum. To which the Gemara says, lo, not necessarily. Nisu v'huadin lezinu. No, this halacha remains the same whether Leah married another man or whether Leah just had relations with another man. V'hai diktani nisu, and the reason the Mishnah chooses to discuss, the reason why the Mishnah says nisu, that ultimately, again, she married this individual, lishna ma'al yonagat. The Mishnah just wanted to use a nice lashon. But nisu means she had relations with another man. Whether she had relations with another man, again, as a form of marriage, or she had relations with another man as a form of znus, either way, that would preclude her ultimately from doing yibum later on. V'ika da'amri, others explain the following. V'ika da'amri, there's another version of this. Nisu v'hua din lezinu. That when the Mishnah says that ultimately, again, that in this case she married another man, and therefore when it's discovered that wife number one, Rachel, was an islandess, and therefore it turns out that Leah really has to do Yibum, because she married another man, she can no longer do Yibum. Leah Mesei L'Rav Hamnuna. This seems to support the position of Hamnuna. The Rav Hamnuna, Shomeres Yavam Shizin, Sa'asur Liyavma. Because Rav Hamnuna said that a Shomeres Yavam who engages in Znus, you are not permitted to go ahead and anymore do Yibum. To which the Gemara says, lo, nisu dafka. No, not necessarily. Maybe the Mishnah dafka means nisu. Because this case can be confused with the situation of a woman whose husband went overseas. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. And what happens? The woman's husband went overseas. Witnesses came and said, your husband died. And now she got remarried. So we'll say, in that case, remember again, if it turns out that they were wrong and husband number one returns, that halacha, she's not permitted to return to her husband. So there was a concern that this case of Yibam, if we ultimately allow her to go back to the Yavam, has the appearance of this case of Baila Shalach L'Medina Sayam. People might confuse the two cases and might assume that because there were extenuating circumstances, or she made a mistake, by the case of where her husband went overseas, therefore again, she should be able to go back to him as well. Therefore, in order to avoid that confusion, that loch is she may not return even to the Yavam. So the bottom line in this case over here is that, again, there are two different versions of how to understand the ruling of the Mishnah. Specifically, does the penalty only apply when Leah married another man, or does the penalty also apply even when she just had relations with another man? In other words, do relations with another man preclude her from doing Yibum or not? So that's subject to Machlokes. Next case, Hakone Sesivim. So most remember, again, the follow-up case to this was a similar case, just without the Erevah piece. Remember again, Reuven's married to Rachel and Leah. So again, Rachel and Leah have no relation to Reuven's brother Shimon. Reuven dies. Rachel does Yibum with Shimon. and Leah marries someone else. And then turns out that's what? That Rachel was an islandess. And therefore, again, she was never really married to Reuven to begin with, which means that her marriage to Shimon did not satisfy the Yibum criteria. Which means that now Leah is subject to Yibum. What's the problem? The problem is that Leah has married someone else. So the Mishnah says, Teitzei Mizeo Mizeh, Leah must leave her second husband and can also no longer do Yibum. Says the Gemara Utsricha. Now, what the Gemara is asking is, why do I need the second case? I guess, the only difference between this case and the first case is what? That in the first case, Rachel was Shimon's daughter. In this case, she's unrelated to Shimon, but the principle is the same. The principle is, you had a woman who thought she was not subject to Yibum, and therefore again, or I should say, the woman who was no longer subject to Loza Yibum Chalitza, married another man, and then it turns out that what? She was subject to the laws of Yibum. So the Mishnah says, in a case like that, the second marriage is illegal, she must leave second husband, but because she's been with another man, so she cannot go ahead and do Yibum. So why do I need essentially the same case twice? To which one I'm going to tell you why. Tzvicha. Both cases are necessary. Di'i ashamina b'hach kamaisa mishum lo akayim mitzas Yibum. So I might have thought, you know, in the first case, perhaps the reason why we make Leah leave her second husband was because the mitzvah of Yibum was not fulfilled at all. Because remember, again, in the first case, Rachel was an erva to Shimon, because Rachel was Shimon's daughter, so there was no Yibum at all. And therefore, I'd say that's the case where when we discover that Rachel is an islandess, we make Leah leave her second husband. Aval hacha de kayim mitzvah Yibum, eim alo. But I will say, in case number two, where there was a form of Yibum. Remember, in case number two, Shimon marries Rachel. This turns out that what? That Rachel's an islandess. So I would have thought that in this case, again, where there was a Yibum, just it turns out that the Yibum wasn't fully effective, I would say maybe there's no knas, maybe there's no penalty, I would just let Leah remain married to her husband. Therefore, again, the Mishnah needs to teach you that, no, even in that case, we make her leave the second husband. V'yashmin ha'cha mishum dekaram yakameh. Or if it would have just said that what? That in the second case, because ultimately she's present for him. Aval hasam lo ram yakame. So what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Vi'i tana seifa mishum de ram yakame. Shtehen naflu tchilis yabim ka'achas. If it would have just told me the second case, you will say in case number two, both Rachel and Leah fall to Shimon in Yibum. Rashi says, Shtehen naflu tchilis yabim ka'achas. Ukishen es yab ma'achas kodem shetavi shtei saros. Hayla l'tzaros alahamtin. Remember, the case over here is, perhaps in the second case, Leah should have waited to make sure that the marriage, that the Yibum to Rachel was in fact a proper Yibum. Remember again, if it's discovered that Rachel is an islandess, what that means is that at the time of Yibum, Rachel did not yet physically mature. So what should have happened over here is that Leah should have waited to see that Rachel was going to physically mature before she got married on her own. And therefore, again, because she didn't wait, therefore she's penalized ultimately again for marrying a second man. Aval hasam de la ram yakameh. But in case number one, Rabbi say, where what happened, remember, Rachel is the daughter of Shimon, so there was no chashash that there's going to be Yibum at all. I might have thought, Emalo, I might have thought that therefore in that case we wouldn't penalize Leah. Therefore, again, Tzvicha. So Rabbi say, Kamashmolin, in both cases where it turns out that Yibum was never effectively done, we make the other wife leave her second marriage, but ultimately she can't marry the Yavam either because she had already had relations with another man. Let's just finish up. So remember again, this is the case where the sofer wrote two documents. He wrote a get for the husband, a shover for the wife. Actually, we'll say, we'll stop over here. We're not going to finish it in time. We'll stop over. We'll pick up with this last case tomorrow. It doesn't seem fair to the woman here. Years later,